Our first reading today is from the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let us listen for the word of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Please rise as you are able and sing hymn number 170, Oh, How I Love Jesus, verse 1. Our second reading, also from the New Testament, includes selected verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are there for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen.
God, your prophet once said, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. And we give you thanks, Lord, for glimpses and moments when you keep that promise, when you show us that you hear our cries and that you open up the heavens and descend upon us, your church, as at Pentecost. And we pray that you would continue to fall upon us like the rain. And that like the rain that does not return empty, but rather helps the earth bear good fruit, that your Holy Spirit would reach and settle deep within us, flowing from the water of life to bear up in us good fruit. God, may the words that we've heard from your scripture now be opened because of my words or in spite of them. May we receive what you want us to receive today, for we know that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. ago, as I was preparing for this series that we draw to a close today, we've been talking a lot about radical hospitality. And I knew that this Sunday, of course, would be the Sunday we would gather immediately after the United Methodist General Conference. In the scriptures that we have heard read so beautifully by our brother John today, we heard some extraordinary words of promise and vision and hope, even in the midst of struggle. Both of those passages were preached and written to the church in the midst of struggle. And one of the words that struck me and that I lifted out of the text as a place of focus is the word access. Did you hear that word in the letter to Romans? We're going to come back there. But I've been thinking about this idea, this word about access. So much in our world, you have to have special things to gain access to the things that you need. You need a PIN or a password. I forget mine all the time, and therefore remain frustrated a great deal of the time. You need to have a security code or security clearance. I know some folk among us have some of those at different levels. So much in our world, you only are able to gain access to some of the good gifts, it seems like, in the world if you have the right stuff, the right connections. It's who you know that'll get you in. And I saw that to be the case in many ways as well, this sort of thinking about the issues around access as I traveled to and was part of the General Conference these last almost 2 weeks. As an elected clergy delegate from the Baltimore, Washington Annual Conference, was in the middle of this meeting. For those of you who may not know, the General Conference for the United Methodist Church is a meeting that happens every 4 years. It's a worldwide gathering. It's a gathering of folks from literally around the world who come together as United Methodist Christians to pray and to worship, to lift up the good work that God is doing in and through us, and to legislate together, to make decisions together about the future of the church and how we're going to live and proclaim God's good news in the world. If any of you have been watching the news or reading the news, we've been in the news. I'm sorry to say that the news has not been that the people called United Methodists are standing as a strong gospel alternative to the extraordinary polarization that we experience in the larger world. I wish that was the headline. But what we have heard, I'm sure what some of you have seen, is that the United Methodist Church is deeply divided, reflecting rather than challenging the experience that we share, certainly here in our own country. So as we arrived at General Conference, one of the things that was the reality that many of us knew we were walking into, and it was a heightened sense of anxiety and worry and even some fearfulness, but also some holy boldness, knowing what we stand for, who we are. And proclamation and our witness. As we gathered at annual conference with all of that stuff kind kind of there, this tension and this anxiety and this energy. And I went in knowing that I was going to be coming back and preaching about access. I noticed some things. I just want to share with you some of the things that I noticed. First of all, when I got to my hotel finally in Portland, Oregon, I got on the elevator. I was a little weary and got on the elevator. I kept pushing the button and nothing was happening. And then finally somebody, I opened it up to go out. I was like, what's going on? Somebody gets on. I was like, oh no, you have to use your key card to get access. It's like, okay, all right. So every time you have to, anyway, so key card to get access. That was the way the whole thing started. Then when I finally got from the hotel to the convention center, I discovered that in order to get into the building, you had every time to have your bag checked and get a body scan at the United Methodist General Conference. And then once you got in, you got a color-coded badge, which gave you certain access depending on the color. Now, because I'm a delegate, an elected delegate, I got a blue badge, which gave me access to the bar. If only it were the bar I wanted access to. The bar, of course, is the space at the conference in which they keep very careful tabs on who gets in there, because those are the ones who are going to get one of those little voting thingies that you press, the little electronic voting devices, very carefully monitored to get access to that. And then once you're in the bar and you're at your assigned table, there was an iPad on every table that was the electronic cue. So instead of just getting up and going to the mic or raising a card to get recognized, you had to use this iPad to get access to the mic, to have voice on the floor. You had to use this thing. Now, in order to use this thing, you had to know your number, which was on your color-coded badge. You had to put the number in, then you had to like click a few dots, and then you had to go to a list of things. Now, what is it that you actually want to do? Do you want to amend? Do you want to make a motion? Do you want to move new business? Do you want to challenge the chair? It was like this whole list. And then you would press the button, and off it would go into the system. And then one imagines or assumes that your name shows up at the chair's desk. You may or may not be called upon. How do you get access? How do you have a voice? There were also translation devices. In order to get access to what people were actually saying, you needed to figure out which the right channel was to plug in the thing to get the earphones on when somebody started speaking. When it wasn't English, we had at least 6 different languages: Swahili, Portuguese, Spanish, Tagalog, what am I forgetting, Dawn? French, and Russian. That may have been all of them. A lot of voices. And so trying to get access to what people were trying to say, and then to try to make sure that, who knows if the translation was right, you know? There were a lot of access issues, a lot of things to try to overcome, just to be present, just to be in community together. And then you add on top of that other kinds of access issues, like just the process itself. If you have never been in a legislative sort of setting like that, or been part of it, or been somebody who's supposed to know how to make all these different decisions, what does it mean to, when do you get to amend, and when can you table something, and if somebody does that, is it in the rules? It's just this whole game with its own rules. And so people who know that have a certain kind of access to the power of playing the game. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then on top of that, there was something else that we noticed at one of the tables at the Baltimore-Washington Annual Conference. 3 members of our delegation were seated together at one of the tables: Ken Au, Cynthia Moore Kakoi, and Charlie Parker. They were all seated right there together. Well, Ken, as you might imagine, hear their names: Ken Au, Cynthia Moore Kakoi, Charlie Parker. All 3 of them put their names in the iPad queue, Cynthia and Ken put theirs in first. Charlie Parker is the one who got called to go to the mic. Mr. Al and Ms. Kokoi were not recognized. Access. Do you hear what I'm saying? Access issues. And then, of course, the biggest issue of access that ran underneath and on top and around all the sides of the General Conference is the issue of access to ministry, to full inclusion, to full recognition of human identity and worth and value and dignity. Because the United Methodist Church continues to officially hold a policy that excludes sisters and brothers from being recognized and ordained as called ministers of God. Because the official position of the United Methodist Church continues to use language that says that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer persons are incompatible with Christian teaching. Because the official position of the United Methodist Church continues to say that anyone who is in ministry, full ministry, with LGBTQ persons and who celebrates their love and their commitment and their covenant in the sacrament of marriage, which I actually believe it is, don't tell anybody. That those who practice that should be, there were people coming with legislation that said that anybody who did a same-gender wedding should be absolutely cut off. No trial, no just process, no resolution, no conversation, don't pass go, don't collect $200, you're just out. People were coming wanting to make that happen. People were coming wanting to make our language not more loving and wise and just and inclusive, but rather smaller and narrower, more exclusive. And so many of those who said they wanted to try to make that happen, this narrowing, this shrinking, this extraordinary gatekeeping, are folk who say we need to be scripturally driven. We need to be grounded in the Bible. These people who want to control access to the church, who want to control access to the pulpit, who want to control access to the stoles, who want to control access to God's grace, to God's identity, to God's image, who want to say, no, you're made in the image of God, you're sort of made in the image of God. These people who want to control access to God and want to claim that they are grounded in the scriptures need to open their Bibles to Romans chapter 5, in which it says very clearly, which, by the way, is just a Paul's recapitulation of what happened in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, did you hear what it says? How are we justified? He's making a case here, Paul. He's arguing against the laws of human beings, the laws of human beings that have been twisted and made smaller and made to exclude people from the good news of God's love. That's what Paul's arguing in this letter. And he's saying, we are not justified by the laws of human beings. Rather, he says here, we are justified by faith. Faith in in the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God. How? Because we've kept control of the church, because we've kept control of who gets to come in and out and who gets to preach and who gets to celebrate the sacraments. Do we have peace because we can then keep ourselves safe from anything that makes us feel uncomfortable that we don't understand? We don't have peace that way, but rather Paul says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. There were points over the course of the last 2 weeks when it really felt like the whole thing was coming apart. And it felt like there was these forces that were trying to break the church and to break you, honestly, and to break me. But guess what? We stand in the grace of Christ. And they can't take it away. And they can't break it. We stand and are justified by our faith in the living Christ. They can't take it away from us. They can tell me I can't be your pastor anymore. Let them try to make me leave. At that general conference, and I can't begin to tell you and express to you the fullness of that witness. Foundry was everywhere. We were everywhere, and Jane said it beautifully. We may have lost a lot of battles, but they knew we were there. And they did know we were there. And they recognized us, and they recognized me. I've said this to you before. People find out you're from Foundry. I had people come up and say, I saw you on PBS. I was like, yes, you did. And you know what I said on PBS, so you know how I feel and where I stand. And they do. And they do come up to me. Through the whole time of General Conference, I was getting messages from many of you. Messages saying, we're praying for you, and thank you, and I'm so glad that you're there, and I'm so glad that people from Foundry are there, and thanks be to God for Foundry. There was one legislative session in which I was able, was called upon really by the Spirit to stand up and speak a word on the issue of inclusion because someone had stood up in that committee and spoken a word that was hateful and small-minded. And so I needed to stand up and speak a word to that sister. And I did that. And as I was leaving the convention center that day, a man who came up to me on the street and he said, I'm not part of this United, I'm not part of the church. He said, but I was here at the convention center doing some work. He must have been a technical person. I don't know what he was doing. Mics, maybe? I don't know. But he said to me, he said, I'm not part of the church, but I was in that room. And I'm so glad I saw you on the street today. Because what you said was so beautiful. And after what that other woman had said, I thought, what is this church about? But then you stood up. See, friends, thank you. This is not, I'm not, what I, this is the point. is that I am there representing you. I am there representing you and the gospel that God has called us together to proclaim. I am graced and blessed to be among you and to be fueled by your prayers and to be standing in solidarity with you. This is the truth of the matter. I went into General Conference with specific faces of Foundry people in my mind and in my heart, and I thought, when things get hard, when I start to think that it, you know, what are we doing? What's happening? What's this all for? I'm just going to think of you, your faces, and that's what I did. And it was powerful. But the thing that you need to know is that that man who spoke to me is saying the same thing about Foundry, that we need to continue to speak the response to the words of hatred and fear and brokenness and division. That's our calling. It's who we are, and God will continue to bless and strengthen us to be that church. There was a moment when we thought it was all going to come apart, but, you know, Spirit gets busy. She knows what she's doing. And there was a moment when we thought it was all lost. Truly, I just thought the church I love is over. And then there was this moment. The bishops had been challenged to lead and to offer a vision for the future, and they brought back something, and the body first rejected one version of accepting it, and then lo and behold, we said yes. How that happened could only be the work of the Spirit. And some people are saying that we've just kicked the can down the road. Anybody heard that? It's all right, you can say it. Some people say, well, we just kicked the can down the road, just didn't make the decision. What I want to say is that we have been given grace, space. The bishops are leading us, and the vision is not to just kick the can down and do exactly the same thing next time, but it's to form a commission that is representative of our global church and all of the diversities within it, to come together in a small enough community and communion of people that real conversation can be had, where we will look at one another and know one another and pray together and study together, and then bring back to the church a concrete vision and plan for how we will be able to move together as the church in unity. That's not the same thing as what we came to do this time. This is something new. Do we know if it's going to work, whatever that means? Do we know what's going to happen? No. Do we know who's on the commission yet? No. Are we all anxious about that? Well, we're waiting. But the truth is that we are being given an opportunity as a denomination to try to change the headline, to make the United Methodist Church a church that doesn't just do what so many other denominations have done, which is to say, well, let's just split it down the middle into for and against and be done with it. But rather, we're being given an opportunity as a denomination to stay in the struggle and to be prayerful and discerning and to trust the Spirit's work and movement, so that what comes back to us whenever it comes, it could be 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years, that we as a denomination and as a general conference might receive something new and move forward together. And then imagine the headline: the United Methodist Church has found a way to offer a gospel alternative to for and against. Wouldn't that be lovely? That's my prayer. And we can pray for that and work for that even as we remain firm in our call for justice. Friends, I know that there are many things that you have, that you think about, and probably lots of different opinions about where we are. But what I want to remind you of today is that in Christ Jesus, we have an all-access pass to the grace and mercy of God. And for all of those, or any of those who say we need to just listen to the scriptures, let's just go and see how the story ends, shall we? How does the story end? Did you hear those words? Though those beautiful, amazing words from the Revelation of John. The river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God through the middle of the city, and on either side of the river, the tree of life producing fruit, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And nothing will be called accursed there. Nothing will be called incompatible there. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and God's servants will worship, and God's name will be on their foreheads. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The living Christ says, come. Anyone who hears, come and receive the gift of the waters of life, which is God's love and mercy, which is given as a gift. No PIN or password, no security clearance. Nobody can keep you out. Nobody can keep you away. No power on earth. Nothing in the heights, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If today you want to make a renewed commitment to standing as the church that God has called us to be, who proclaims God's grace and mercy, grounded in the scriptures, fueled by the Spirit, alive in the living Christ Jesus, if you want to reclaim that calling or claim it for the first time in a public way, then come. Then come. If you want to come today and claim again or pray for God to help you stay strong in the struggle, that through suffering you might be given character which will produce hope, then come. If you're feeling weak and weary today and uncertain about the way forward, then come and kneel at the altar of God's grace. And let us together be in prayer with and for one another, to remind ourselves and ground ourselves in the grace of God, whom no one controls but Christ alone. Come and receive from the mercy and the flowing waters of God's life. Let us pray together. I invite you to come now. The altar rails are open, and we will be in prayer together. If you want to just come forward, if you want to sit where you are, but I invite you to come as the Spirit moves. Prayers continue to go up. If you have more prayers you'd like to bring forward, I invite you to do that at this time.